Okay, we're going to get started on 1 Corinthians 12 on spiritual gifts. This will be kind of an introduction to these three chapters, which are about this subject. And maybe we can start with reading the first three verses of 1 Corinthians 12. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were all Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, we've already noted that the Corinthian church was plagued by a multitude of problems. And so in chapters 12 through 14, Paul tackles another major issue that was causing havoc within the assembly. It's misuse of spiritual gifts. And all these relate back to the fact that they were carnal, they were baby Christians, and they were ignorant of God's word. They were carried by their emotions rather than by the word of God. And this is why Paul begins the way he does in verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, or spiritual things, gifts is in italics there, but concerning spirituals, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Well, whenever Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant, it's because they were ignorant. And so he has to teach them. And at the end of this section, in chapter 14, verse 38, he says this: but if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. In other words, let him remain ignorant. In other words, if you're not going to take heed to what I'm teaching here, to the word of God, to what God says about these things, then be ignorant. And whenever the topic of gifts, and especially of tongues and sign gifts, many will follow their emotions rather than the truth of scriptures. It's the hardest thing for people that have gone through an experience to give up their experience when it's confronted with the word of God. And you see this with relationships too, don't you? With someone that gets involved with an unbeliever, you know, a guy-girl thing, and they get involved with them. And you can show them point blank from the scripture that, you know, this is wrong. This is what God says. But now they're emotionally invested in this relationship. And there's not too many times that they'll leave that relationship, is there? And it's because you're going by your emotions, by your feelings, rather than the word of God. And that's what the Corinthians were doing. That's what Paul was trying to convince them, that, you know, there's a better way here than to be run by your emotions. So he looks at their history in verse 2. You know that you were Gentiles carried away by these dumb idols. However, you were led. They were carried away by demons, because behind the idol is a demon. And they served the idols to get the power from the demon, just like this voodoo priest said. The reason we serve demons is that they give us good things. The reason people serve idols is because they want them to give good things to them. And he said they were carried away in their worship of these idols, these demons. Ecstatic speech, out of control activities characterize the worship, their worship as pagans. And apparently, some of these activities they have brought into the assembly. And so, the way they did it as unbelievers was the way they wanted to worship as believers. That sound familiar? We watched the film about the origin of Christian contemporary music, how it came out of the hippies movement and the Jesus people. The hippies got saved. They didn't want to give up their good music, so they brought it into the church. And so they brought their music, their mannerisms, their dress, their attitudes, and that became what they called Christian worship. Now, if you ever watch films of pagan ceremonies, you see things like, you know, people jumping up and down and whirling on the ground or writhing on the ground and shouting, gyrating, passing out, nakedness, frenzied commotion, and often demon possession. If you look back, remember, we mentioned this back in chapter 10, but I want to look at it again. First Corinthians 10:7 says, "And do not become idolaters as some of them, as is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." This was in their worship of Jehovah. And if you go back to Exodus 32, we'll look at where this verse comes from. And again, we talked about this earlier, but I want to look at it again because it fits with this passage, and it's probably where Paul was thinking of going when he added it there, or when he included it, that they were carried away in their pagan ceremonies because they were getting carried away in their church ceremonies. And that's why at the end of chapter 14, he says, let everything be done decently in order. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace as in all the churches of the saints. So some things were just out of line. Look at chapter 32, Exodus, verse 4. You know, Aaron, you know, tells them to bring their earrings. And verse 4, he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a molten calf. Then he said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. And so when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation. And he said, tomorrow is a feast, notice, to the Lord. We're going to worship the Lord. But we're going to do it in a different way than we used to do it. We're not going to do it the old stodgy, you know, hymn-singing way of worship. We're going to do a lot, this is going to be a lot livelier and more fun. Verse 6, so when they rose up early on the next day, offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, go get down, for your people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, notice, have corrupted themselves. Is the church being corrupted today? A little leaven leavens a whole lump, isn't that what Paul said? You bring leaven into the assembly, bad apples convert the good apples, the good apples don't convert the bad apples, usually. Verse 8, they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molded calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it. And they said, this is your God, O Israel, brought you out of the land of Egypt. Verse 17, and we'll skip a little bit. You can read it at your leisure. Verse 17, when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, there's a noise of war in the camp. But he said, it's not the noise of the shout of victory, nor is it noise of the cry of defeat. It's a sound of singing I hear. I wonder what the singing was like. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. So it was, as soon as he came near the camp, he saw the calf and the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. And then verse 25, it says, now when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, for Aaron had not restrained them to their shame among their enemies. And so if you watch some of the ceremonies or the services of the modern charismatics, It's much the same, isn't it? I mean, when you're rolling around on the carpet, you know, you're glued to the carpet, or you're barking like a dog, or drunk in the spirit like some of them are, and so on. They're much the same as these pagan ceremonies. Any difference? And you remember a couple years ago, Jim Steele spoke on the new spirituality, which is not new at all. It's the old paganism in new garb, in modern garb. So you're bringing spirit into your assembly, but what kind of spirit are you bringing in? Is it the spirit of God? So the people of Haiti, many of them are getting delivered from that demonic spirit. But the church is embracing it. And people that I've talked to that have had occult experiences and are being oppressed by demons, ask them, what kind of music do you listen to? And without exception, they're listing the hard rock music. But they mention God. I had a guy tell me that the rock group, what was it? It's back in the 70s or 80s, Black Sabbath. Black Sabbath was actually a Christian group. Because they mentioned God. Well, we just saw in Exodus they had a feast of Jehovah. It was nothing but pagan. And we just read about the voodoo priests praying to God before they do their voodoo ceremonies. So they must be Christian too. I talked to a guy on the phone the other day, and he said that he was Jewish, but he was married to a Roman Catholic. But he's interested he said something like, well, we have to be spiritual. Which meant it didn't matter if you were Roman Catholic, Jewish, Protestant, Hindu, or whatever, just as though you're spiritual. See, and that's the ecumenical spirit that's in the world today. It's something the Pope is talking about. Isn't he? Song about, well, we won't get into that. But so the history of these Corinthians was, their services were lively, all right, because they kind of did it the way they used to do it. At least some of them did. And it was organized chaos. Okay, but also, verse 3 is a very challenging verse, you know, one that a lot of commentators don't even try to explain. Verse 3 says, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, the Corinthian church, as we know, was very divided. And one of the problems was this misuse of the spirit gifts. But some of these who claimed to be controlled by the spirit were actually possessed by demon spirits. And so if they're possessed by demon spirits, now we can't say that dogmatically, but it kind of implies that in verse 3, that if someone is speaking by the Spirit of God, he's not going to call Jesus accursed. So what kind of spirit is controlling him if he's calling Jesus accursed? He said that would be impossible. Now, there were spirits, apparently, who spoke through these individuals and spoke evil of Jesus and denied his human divine natures. And I know M.R. Dionne thought that he was referring to the fact that they wouldn't accept Jesus as a human, I mean as a man, because that was actually the first heresy in the church. Wasn't that Jesus wasn't God, it was that he wasn't a man. Because flesh to them was evil. That was the Gnostic error, was humanists or just flesh was evil in itself. And so Jesus could not have become a man. But remember what it says, and he came in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. And so, but also, then later there was the denial of his divine nature. Because you have to have both of them to have Jesus, don't you? He's God who became a man. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so if you read that verse again, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. Well, that's pretty apparent, isn't it? And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, someone could mouth those words, but from the heart, they could not say that unless they were genuinely believers. They're filled with the Holy Spirit that can truly glorify the Lord Jesus and give him his just due. So, yeah, I would like to have been, I guess, in one of their services. Because you get to chapter 14, and you talk about a mess. You know, people popping up and speaking in tongues and so on, and speaking out of turn. And in fact, he said, if some unbeliever comes in, he's going to think you're nuts. And Paul said, I'd rather speak five words in a known tongue than 5,000 in unknown or 10,000 unknown tongue. Amen. So we'll be going through those gifts, and maybe we just read through this rest of the chapter just to get you familiar with it, what we'll be covering next few weeks. Verse 4 says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. See, what his emphasis is on the oneness, rather than looking at these gifts as being a competition, like Sean's football game, that we're going to try to be better than the other guy. That's not what the church is about. It's a union of one, and that's why he uses the body concept. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for his profit, for the profit of all, not for your own profit, but for the others. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues or languages, which is really what tongues should be translated. They're languages. They're not jibber-jabber. Verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Notice it's the sovereign Spirit of God that makes the decision of who gets what Spirit. You don't earn the right to a certain Spirit. And even if your desire is to be something, that does not mean the Spirit of God is going to bestow that upon you. Verse 12, for as body is one, has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. We have all been made to drink into one Spirit. And see, that's what the folks at Haiti, you know, these voodoo people are getting saved, and the townspeople are getting saved. They're one body, aren't they? There's no different. And so we have to learn that, don't we? God takes away those distinctions. Verse 14, for in fact the body is not one member, but many, and the foot should say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not the body, is it therefore not the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And that's what he's going to get into chapter, at the end of the chapter here, there are different gifts, but not everybody has the same gifts. Verse 21, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and on unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that all the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, various tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? And of course, the answer to all these is no. Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you the more excellent way. And so the desire there is for the best gifts for the assembly, ones that would edify it and build it up, which when he gives the order of the gifts here, first the apostles, second prophets, and third teachers, those are all teaching gifts, aren't they? So that they would know what the Word of God has to say, so they would be able to operate according to God's Word and God's will. Not the showy sign gifts that would impress people. And of course, the more excellent way is chapter 13, the love chapter. Things are to be ministered in love. All right. We'll stop there and let's pray.